Hi, attainable listeners. Today, we are talking with Megan and Marshall Dostal, a husband and wife co-founder team who started Further Products 10 years ago here in LA. Marshall and Megan are pioneers in the sustainable game. Marshall grew up in a sustainable family environment and has since taught Megan the ropes. After getting married, they started living a more sustainable lifestyle together long before they knew they would be business partners and before they knew their business would be considered a sustainable brand. Listen in to learn why Marshall, the master maker behind the Further product, started to tinker with soap recipes in the first place, and learn in what ways Megan and Marshall have grown the brand with their own four hands over the last decade. These two are one power couple, to say the least, and they come with an incredible story. I can't wait to dive in. Let's go. Thank you guys both for being on the show. Really excited to chat with you.
Thank you for having us.
So you've been in business 10 years.
This month is officially our 10th year.
Wow. So
incorporated 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Talk about the Further product and what was the catalyst, the aha moment to make helping our planet your mission in business?
A bunch of years ago, I had heard about people running their cars on vegetable oil, and I had an old Mercedes diesel that I had actually gone to get a different kind of car, but it was sort of back when the internet wasn't fully, the pictures weren't there properly or whatever it was. So long story short, I ended up getting thought I was going to get one kind of car, but it ended up the guy had a diesel Mercedes. So got that car. And it was actually similar to one that my dad had when I was growing up. So it was kind of serendipitous because soon after I heard about people running their car on vegetable oil, their diesel engines on vegetable oil. And I thought that was really cool and interesting. So toyed with that for a little while and had some success with it. But the issue was that it was hard when you're running a car on straight vegetable oil, you're supposed to theoretically build a separate tank for the engine because the vegetable oil gets a little thicker, so can get thicker and it doesn't go through the fuel lines well. So you're supposed to heat up the fuel separately and then use a bunch of switches to get the, it becomes kind of a logistical nightmare. So did that for a while, had some success with it, but wanted to see if maybe Megan could do it too, but that wasn't necessarily going to be so easy to convert her to that because of the all the stuff that you got to do, and sometimes the car stalls, and that's not too fun either. So pretty soon thereafter, I heard about biodiesel, and biodiesel is essentially, well, it's fuel made out of vegetable oil, but what you're doing is you're adding methanol and potassium hydroxide to vegetable oil, and from there, you're getting a chemical reaction, and you get two things from it. You get biodiesel, which is great, because that's fuel that you can run in any diesel engine. And it reduces carbon emissions by 75%. You don't have to flip any switches or anything. You can just put it in the tank and go, which was great. And then there was a byproduct from that as well, which is glycerin. And that sort of started piling up in the garage.
So Marshall had been making the fuel. And I mean, we both had jobs. This was just something that we did as a hobby. And he started making the biodiesel and the glycerin was piling up. And I just asked him, I was like, you got to get rid of that. Instead of, you know, getting rid of it or disposing of it, he's like, you know, I feel like I can make soap. I think I've read somewhere where you can make soap with glycerin. Isn't that a thing? I was like, yeah, there's glycerin soap. He bought books. He went online. He talked to people. He taught himself how to make soap. And so he was mixing it on like a hot plate in the garage. And he made this soap that was chemically and technically soap. But when you used it to wash your hands, it didn't suds, it didn't have any fragrance, didn't smell like anything. And I wasn't on board. He kept putting it at the kitchen sink. I'm like, this stuff is not, I don't want to use this. So he's like, well, what would make you want to use it? I'm like, I need it to bubble. I need it to smell good. So we started to kind of tinker a bit together. And he eventually had something where when friends would come over, they would use it, they would like it. And we had somebody say, you should sell this. You guys should do something with this. It was just at a time in our life when we had sold a home and we sort of didn't know what we were going to do with that money that we had. And everything just sort of happened at the same time. We never set out to start a business ever. Certainly not a business together, but we tried to sell it once and people bought it. So, you know, we sold it to a couple of retailers and then we found the restaurants where we were getting the grease, were interested in using the soap, and it just sort of grew from there. There was no business plan. There was no like brainstorming on what product would be the best to bring to market. And it honestly wasn't conceived to be a consumer-friendly, eco-friendly product. It just really just kind of happened in our garage and in our kitchen sink. And that was probably like 12 years ago. And then we, you know, took some time to figure out what we wanted to do. And I remember Marshall like creating the initial label. I mean, it, you know, we really just sort of were doing it as a LARP, and now it's a business. We just made it for ourselves, and we thought if we liked it, other people might like it too.
Cutting down on your use of fuel, have this product left over. Clearly, you were already trying to live sustainably. And this business is really a byproduct of you wanting to be better for our environment.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
You've seen so much change, and even just the learning curve of sustainability and people knowing how you're making your product and now seeking out of products like yours. How have you seen the business change since you started?
And I've seen things change, I think, for the better, in the sense of that there's more, you know, more companies are trying to do sort of have more of a sustainable approach to their consumer goods. But at the end of the day, you're still, you know, people are still selling products and creating products. It's just a matter of how you're doing that. We see a lot more brands that are doing things that involve sustainability, whether it be in their ingredient sourcing or their packaging or their, you know, whatever it is, the way they create their products. There's a lot more companies doing it now, I think.
There's no other companies doing what we're doing. So as in the sense of like a true competitor, there's certainly candles and soaps and lotions that have come onto the market that are awesome. There literally isn't anybody else doing what we're doing. It might be because it's, you know, so incredibly difficult. I have so many people, I even have friends, you know, who I may have met, you know, in the last few years who have already known about Further because they've been buying it for years. They didn't realize, they just like the product. What Marshall said is right. People are becoming more aware and more savvy of what they're buying. But the idea that people just were buying it because they liked it, I also really love. And that it just so happened to have this production process kind of blows their minds. Like, oh, I just used you at this restaurant. I used you at Moza. I used you, you know, here. And I thought you were awesome and I just started to buy. I didn't even realize. I think my pride in Further is that we've created a product that can really kind of go across categories. And literally we have a fully sustainable production process and we also look awesome on your sink and we smell great and we work well. And we're made in the United States. There's a lot that our competitors don't do as far as other soap companies. There's probably more to come. You know, as more people start to grow their businesses and they want to differentiate. But for now, I mean, it's been 10 years and we really haven't changed that much. We haven't had to, which has been nice.
It's a holistically positive product.
Right, right. Then you become hooked and you're like, well, how could I buy any other soap? No other soap does what this one is doing.
Right. So in terms of scaling, when you started, you were using the byproduct of your cars, your two cars.
Correct.
And as you realize this could be actually something and you needed to produce more glycerin, what was the moment where you said, who can we turn to for more veggie oil? Who can help us scale this?
I used to go and pick up vegetable oil myself, but don't have a whole lot of time to do that anymore. So we just have grease hauling partners, people who are already currently picking up grease, and they bring us back the grease that we need. And then we work with a lot of restaurants, so there's a lot more grease than we can use for our business. So that goes to a different facility where they make biodiesel. And I hesitate to use the word control a lot of oil, but have access to a lot of oil and people want to use it for the process. So that goes to a different facility. And then from that facility, we're able to get more glycerin.
And then are your delivery trucks and any vehicle in your fleet all running on that biofuel?
Exactly. We use it for use the biofuel that we make for our truck.
Marshall, you had a Mercedes. And Megan, what were you driving? Oh, you still have it. That's awesome.
We still have it. You can see it on our website if you go visit it. I have had a variety of Volkswagens. We also have a diesel truck. You know, they're generally older cars. You know, if you buy a new diesel and you put biodiesel in it because of insanity, your warranty gets negated. So we always drive second, third, fourth hand cars, and that works for us. So I've been through a lot of cars.
That's amazing about the warranty, and that should change.
Yeah.
For any of our listeners or who are curious about switching over their diesel vehicle or their current vehicle to diesel, what should people be prepared for? What maybe are some recommendations you have?
One of the biggest challenges of running biodiesel is actually finding it. We make it ourselves, so it's not too hard to find when we make it, but actually a place that makes it, well, we're here in Los Angeles, but locally, I don't know too many places that actually sell it. It's sort of fallen out of favor, unfortunately, just because, well, maybe a good combination of just electric cars and that sort of thing, that there's more fuel efficiency, but also just some of the newer engines don't necessarily run, or there's no warranty for it. So it's a little trickier to actually go out and find biodiesel. But if anyone wants to know how to make it, they can, you know, contact me and I'll show them how to do it. But it's also not an easy process.
You have to really, really want to learn how to make it. Because you're building a processor, you're doing, it's a lifestyle choice, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's good work. I mean, it's good because of, you think it's great fuel, but you know, the fuel itself is pretty fringe. Not a lot of people do it.
And for that reason, I'm sure, because it's not easy. It's
the
not
product. Good. The product is not fringe. Our soap product is not fringe. It's completely mainstream, but the process that involves doing it is tricky.
Have you been tracking Further's impact on the planet? And you know, how much fuel have you not used? How much vegetable oil have you created into other products?
I don't think we've actually ever really done that. It's probably something we should do, but I don't think we've ever actually sat down and went, this is how much.
Honestly, like that kind of like tracking is like, I think it's so important, of course, and I'm always interested in hearing other people's, but for Marshall and I both, like it goes so against our personalities and our motivations. Like I think that if we were more business minded, or we probably would have been tracking all this and sharing it and putting it out there, but it's just not in our nature. And I think because we are a married couple who are doing this together, we don't have that outside voice who's like, hey guys, you really should be doing this, this, and this. Further is us, like from top to bottom. We don't have that info, and I can totally see why it's important. But I think even if we did have it, we'd feel kind of embarrassed putting it out there. We do it because we love it, but we would never want anyone else to feel bad that they're not doing it. You know, this is just what we choose to do because we like to do it.
I'm curious, what happens to vegetable oil in restaurants and hotels? What would normally happen to it if you weren't diverting it?
There's a few things. I mean, in the past, nowadays, a bunch of it is used for biofuel just because there's the ability to use it for that. And people, bigger guys, sort of blend it with diesel. So a lot of times, I think in a lot of diesel out there, there's maybe 3 or 5% of regular diesel has biodiesel in it, so you can mix it with regular fuel, which is kind of cool. So there's that. A couple other things that people do with it is they add it. It can be sort of a food filler for cattle feed or dog food or that sort of a thing, sort of a food enricher. Sometimes people will filter it and ship it off to different countries, faraway places, and filter it and reuse it. There's a bunch of different things that can be done with it, but a lot of it's used for fuel now.
That's interesting. Are there lifestyle changes that you made to consciously be more sustainable, or is that something that you ingrained in your lifestyle?
Yeah, it definitely sort of fit in with my lifestyle. Definitely where I grew up, I grew up in suburban Connecticut, but definitely had a a dad who was all about, you know, put the sweater on if it's cold out and don't turn up the heat. And he was definitely a lot about reusing stuff and we have old cars. And yeah, he was all about that growing up. So definitely had that that mentality for me, sort of ingrained in me. Most people aren't surprised when they hear what Megan and I do together. They think it sounds like something that I might probably have done at some point. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily this specific business, but the idea of reusing stuff, that definitely kind of fits in with what I grew up with.
I did not grow up that way at all. On our first date in 1997, Marshall picked me up in New York City on rollerblades and this ancient reflective vest that I think he'd had since he was, you know, he'd already had it for a long time. And he was, you know, saving money and didn't want to be in a taxi and didn't want to be in a subway and just figured he'd get some exercise before picking me up for our date. So he rollerbladed down, you know, 95 blocks downtown. So I knew from the very beginning, this guy thinks differently. And as a result, 23 years later, I can't believe how I did grow up. And my parents are awesome, but very, very generous. And I always knew stuff, and not because something had necessarily been outgrown, but because there was something new out there to be purchased. And now we have our son, who his lunch pail broke last week. And before I could say anything, he's like, so either we fix the zipper or I figure out a rubber band placement so I can just keep using it. I don't need to get rid of it or get a new one. I'm just going to figure out how to keep using this one.
Yes.
So it was so awesome. I was like, oh my God. I have converted to the Dostal ways, and very little of anything is new that comes into our house. Now our families both totally get it. And my mom just went on a trip and I sent her a sweater that I found at a secondhand store that would be perfect. And she never, you know, she never goes secondhand shopping, and now she will. And she's so proud of everything that she gets. So I think for me, it took a little bit of time and just keep spreading the word about reuse. And it takes a little bit of a mindset change. For me, it's now totally normal. I can't imagine doing anything else.
Were there any moments where you thought this is crazy or this, like, we don't need to be sustainable, or like, did everything just kind of, things started to click or things were easy, or it just, you don't need new, you can fix things and that works just as good, if not better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how Marshall grew up. And so, I mean, I don't think we've ever hired a moving company. Like, we do everything ourselves. Like, we fix things, we grow things. We like that. And sometimes I take it too far and it becomes like a challenge and I'll try and eke life out of something that just, you know, is done. But I don't think we ever think, oh, this is too much, or, you know, I can't think of anything but I also can't think of anything that you can't buy secondhand or fix or, you know, use forever. And if you can't use it forever, maybe it shouldn't have come into your house, you know, initially. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Marshall just got rid of his flip phone a few years ago. So this man has always used everything until he can't use it anymore.
Bravo. You know, sometimes you get that look of, oh my gosh, how does that work? But it works. And leading by good example and sharing what you're doing, and it can be fixed. And What have been some of your challenges around living sustainably in our current economy, in our global economy, and how have you overcome them?
I think Marshall overcomes it by not really being a consumer at all. I'm sort of the consumer of the family. I mean, it's simple to say, oh, you know, shop local and do this and buy made in America, and all of that is obviously incredibly important. At the same time, we own a company that is a consumer good. So, you know, obviously we are in a business. This is how we make our living, how we need to sell items to make a living. I mean, like, a perfect example of what makes me happy is I saw a friend today and she's like, we just added another highball glass to our collection, which is her code way of saying that they just burned through one of our glass candles. And when they completely burn through, this couple cleans them out and they use the remaining glass as a glass.
Yes.
They add it to their bar cart and they just keep it going. And so to me, that's, it's not about stopping everything and, you know, being a shut in and never engaging with the consumer world again, but it's about being really smart about what comes into your house and equally as smart as what goes out of your house. I think everyone does the best they can. I think, I hope.
Yeah, I agree. It's not, you know, you can't do everything, you know, 100% reuse. That's probably not realistic, but you try to do as much as you can. And we don't want other people to feel like they're doing something wrong because they're not doing reuse or whatever. That's
right.
What Megan and I choose to do, and that's how we live. But you know, that's not, we're not ones to tell other people how they should live their lives, for sure.
I really do think it is a looking around you and knowing what you have. And mm-hmm. if you are going to bring something new in, make sure that you'll use it a lot. Or yep. do you already have one that can work? Or can mm-hmm. you make something out of something you already have to make that work? Marshall, you are a creator. You are an innovator. You really, you're curious about something or you want to try something and you do it. And the willingness to challenge yourself, and maybe it won't work, but maybe it will. And that's what keeps you going. So what's next for Further? Where do you want to see the business this time next year?
Keep spreading the message and moving forward and, you know, get more people to hopefully try out and use our products and just try to keep growing.
Yeah. And we're always adding new retailers, new restaurants. We now offer our soap with 1 gallon refills. Our dish soap is coming out soon with 1 gallon refills. We've got little tweaks here and there, but there's no new extensive product launch on the horizon. But it's, I mean, more of the same would be a total gift, to be honest, what we've had.
Your product is so solid. It's,
mm-hmm.
you sometimes you walk in a restaurant and there's 50 different things on the menu. And I love your model of just focusing on 1, 2, 3 things and doing those really well. And your business is so lean in sense of, you know, you're not excessive, you're not, you know, and so really I fully 100 hear you of just
yeah.
wanting to do more of the good things you're doing.
Right.
So how do people find you? If they want to have your product in their store, their restaurant, their service business, or if they want to order for their homes, or if they want to get in contact with you.
Furtherproducts.com. We have a list of our retailers that we work with, our list of the restaurants that we work with. You can order online. You can send us a note if you want to get added to either our mailing list or as a retailer. You're always going to talk to me or you're going to talk to Marshall, whether it be email or phone, or follow us on Instagram at Further Products.
That's it. Furtherproducts.com with an F.
All right. And our final question, what is one action we can take to be more sustainable in our daily lives today?
I started a hashtag maybe a couple of years ago, put waste to work. And I think that's what we do at Further. You know, of course, we take the restaurant grease and we make the fuel and we take the perceived weight, you know, byproduct, the glycerin. And instead of getting rid of that, we use it. And I would say at home, you can do the same. Don't toss something without thinking about it, thinking if it could be reused, thinking if you could give it to somebody, thinking if you could fix it, repurpose it, put waste to work. Just, you know, your sheets or your towels, cut them up and use them as cleaning rags. Like I said, with our candles, keep, you know, your pasta jars, clean them out and put your nuts or your grains in them. Just be mindful to put as much to work as you can within your home before you get rid of it and toss it. Because there's a lot out there that can be reused and repurposed before you throw it out. Put waste to work. That's what I say.
That's great.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. I think that's
I learned from the best. I learned from the best.
You're an amazing team.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for being with us and letting us learn a little bit more about your business and your philosophy. And I am excited to see you grow even further.
Thank you, Amy. That's nice.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Talk soon. Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
What an amazing business journey that started with a Mercedes, crossed a kitchen sink, and is now on the shelves of retailers, restaurants, and hotels across the country. Some of the best business ideas are created from curiosity. And in Further's case, curiosity was mixed with love. Love for both exploration and for not allowing usable resources to go unpurposed. This was just the right recipe to make Further what it is today. Megan and Marshall encourage us to put our waste to work because that is exactly what this powerhouse co-founder couple have done with usable vegetable oil and glycerin. The world is a cleaner place because of Further products, and the earth sparkles brighter too. Let's all take Further's advice and put our waste to work. Let's break our bad habits together.